We quote Job a lot of times, but it's a little different when you're living in those dark days. I was thinking while Brother John was singing, I have had the privilege to see that song in living testimony. Now, I've been in the hospital rooms, in the funeral homes, in the ICU units, and I've seen God's people bless the Lord even in the midst of their darkest, darkest trial. I don't see how people live without Him. I don't see how they make it without Him. You can be turning to Matthew chapter number 4 tonight. Keep your Bibles out. We're just going to look at a couple of verses of Scripture. I told my wife on the way to church, I said, I kind of got a silly little message tonight, but I believe it might help somebody. I was blessed this week not to have a hotel room. I stayed in a cabin at a camp, and I had no TV, and I had no distraction, and I just had some time to spend. And I began to think last week, me and Levi were talking, and I asked him what he was going to do Easter Sunday, and he come up with some kind of heresy. I forgot what it was. But I said, man, I'll be honest with you. I don't know what I'm going to do. And he said, man, just preach on the resurrection. I said, this will be the 23rd year in a row I've done it. And there's only so many angles you can come through, you know. And so I laid in my cabin between services, and I read every account of the resurrection. I even thought about preaching on the Rolling Stones. Amen. Y'all will be all right. But I did think it needed to be rolled. That stone wasn't us out. Rolled away to let us in. Amen. Regardless of what we do on Sunday, but I kept kicking that thing around, and then I got to looking at Resurrection Day, but then I started looking at some accounts of post-resurrection where Jesus was seen of many. I'm glad it wasn't just told that He arose. I'm glad that it was proven that He arose. Amen. I mean, boy, I'm talking about by hundreds that seen Him. Several got to touch Him and feel Him. Thomas, got to touch the Lord and feel Him. And God cast away all his doubts when he saw Him. Amen. Thomas said, lest I touch Him and the prints in His hands and thrust my hand in His side, and the Lord showed back up. I believe just counts. I got to look at the guys on the begin to walk Him, and that's that song Levi sings about it was me, amen? And I got to looking at a lot of things, but I want us to look at Matthew chapter number 4 tonight, and then we'll go to John chapter number 21. Matthew chapter number 4, I left my eyeball somewhere. Matthew chapter number 4, are you there? Look at verse number 17. The Bible said, from that time Jesus began to preach. I like that. Let me just stop right there a minute. That just hit me just now. I like that. And Jesus began to preach. Amen. And a wimpy speaker or an orator, but he began to preach. What did he preach? Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Amen. I believe that'd be an important message for the day in which we live. Amen. I believe the kingdom of heaven is at hand. I don't think it'll be long before Jesus returns. Somebody told me the other day, said, oh, we have a great Christian running for president. They said, Donald Trump. Said, oh, yeah, he believes the Bible. He called it 2 Corinthians. That's how familiar he is with the Bible. Turn to 2 Corinthians. Amen. So I believe Jesus is coming soon. Amen. Sorry if I just kicked your fake-haired hero, amen. The Bible said, and Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw 2 brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, now watch it, follow me, and I will make you fishers of, say it, men. These guys were sitting by the sea. They were fishermen by trade. This is Peter and James, and they were there, and they were cleaning their nets, and Jesus walked by, and he said, hey, guys, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men, not fishers of fish. You remember that? Now, I want you to watch what happened after this. Jesus said, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. And the Bible said in verse 20, and they straightway left their nets and followed him. That's a good thing. When Jesus comes by, the very best thing you can do is follow him. We sang that song years ago, Jesus passed by my way. I'm glad he came by my way one day, and I decided to go wherever he was going, whatever direction he was going. I'm just going to follow him. Amen. Boy, and that's easy to do. That's easy to do when you first get saved and the bills are paid and the babies are healthy and all that kind of stuff and the marriage is good. But, you know, it's not always easy to follow Jesus. Everybody likes to discredit Simon Peter. You know what Simon Peter was? He was human. Right. And I guarantee you, Simon never did anything more than what you've done. You say, well, I've never cussed since I've been saved. Yeah. Maybe not in the last 30 minutes. Yeah. Yeah. I was sitting at that three-way stop trying to get to church. This town ought to do something about that mess. Yeah. Hey, his car's backed up as far as you can see. I didn't cuss. Angie did. I didn't say a word. Are y'all all right? Well, Peter, we've denied him in way, shape, or form. Are y'all all right? They want to jump on Peter and say Peter cussed and Peter denied the Lord. Hey, I wonder how many times we've cursed, even under our breath. I wonder how many times we've denied the Lord. We deny the Lord every time we disobey Him. We deny the Lord every time He deals with us about something and we fail to do it. We deny Him over and over and over. Amen. I wonder if you were put in Simon Peter's position and your very life was on the line.
Amen.
I wonder if you would say, I don't know.
Right.
I'd like to say I'd be like one of those guys in the Fox's Book of Martyrs and I'd go down singing Amazing Grace. I'd like to say that, but I know me. I'm a chicken when it comes to seeing my own blood. I might be out of my mouth saying, I don't know him. Father, forgive me, please, please. Y'all okay? Go to John chapter number 21. John chapter number 21. This will be real short tonight, but I just want you to get the gist of it. Now, in Matthew chapter number 4, when Jesus calls Peter and James, do you wonder? It was Andrew, wasn't it? Yeah, excuse me. Peter and Andrew. Do you wonder when Jesus called them, is there any doubt in your mind what Jesus had in mind? Any doubt what the calling on their life was? Any doubt? To be fishers of men, is that right? Follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Now, I wonder how many of you would agree that after we're saved, we have the same job. Or we have the same mandate. Everybody's not a soul winner. Let me rephrase that. Everybody's not a great soul winner, but everybody should be a soul winner. Everybody should be a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. Come on, talk to me. I'm playing and the fellow sat next to me. We had a blank up for a blank room, cross your leg. But I had my iPad out and I was kind of putting this little message together and the fella sitting next to me, you know, some people just knows, you can feel them looking at what you're doing. He said, that looks like a sermon. I said, I hope it sounds like one after a while. It doesn't matter how it looks up here, it's how it sounds out there, amen? He said, are you a pastor? I said, yes, sir, I am. He said, I went to church when I was a kid. I said, I did too, but it stuck and I'm still there. What happened to you, you know? And we were just cutting up, you know, kind of funning a little bit. But I got to kind of witness to the guy. You know, that's our job. Our job is to represent our Lord and Savior everywhere we go in everything we do. But I wonder how often we fail to make that representation. In John chapter number 21, crucified, and on this wise showed he himself together, Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus and Nathanael of Eumas and, no, let me get this right, I'm dyslexic, and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee and the sons of Zebedee and two other of his disciples. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a-fishing. That's what he's supposed to have been doing all along, wasn't it? I go a-fishing. This time, I don't think Simon Peter is fishing for men, do you? Simon said, I go a-fishing. They say unto him, we also go with thee. And they went forth and entered into a ship immediately. And that night they caught nothing. Now look up here just for a second. What he's saying is, I am going back to those nets. And my hope for eternity, my Lord of Lords, the Lord of iron. I would say Peter had reached a point of giving up. Now let's don't get too hard on Peter. How many times have you felt like throwing in the towel? How many times, hey, as a pastor, we celebrated 23 years on Sunday. You don't know how many times, boy, I've laid in my bed and thought, they ain't getting it no more. I don't have an effect on them like I used to. It ain't working like it used to. They're tired of my stories. They're tired of hearing me over and over and over again. I can get somebody fresh and new in here to preach. And boy, they just respond. And boy, I just want to throw in the towel and give up. It gets discouraging sometimes. Simon said, I'm going fishing. I don't know about y'all, but I'm going back to what I know to do. I'm fishing to go make some money. He wasn't talking about getting in a bass boat and or going crappy fishing or sitting down and going back to commercial fishing. He's the rest of that crowd, will you? Now, I'm going somewhere tonight, but listen. First, understand something. You never quit alone. You will never quit alone. When you make up your mind, I've had it up to here, I'm out, I quit, somebody's going to say, me too. Yeah. Mom and dad, more than likely, your children. I know people who were in this church years ago. They had small children. They got mad. They got sideways. They didn't go to another church. They got out, and their children's lives are a wreck. Somebody went with them. Somebody went with them. It's not just children. It's friends. People that are close to you. People that you have influence over. If you quit, the danger of quitting is very high. Because it's not just you that you affect. It's those around you. I've thought about it 1,000 times. And I know this church is not built around me. It's not built on me. It's built around this book and the Lord Jesus Christ. But I wonder how many people it would affect if I throwed it down tonight and said, that's it, I quit. It would have an effect. It happens to churches all across this country. Amen. Pastors just giving up, throwing in the towel and going out to sell cars or life insurance. And it affects a lot of people. I can take you all over this country and show you people that's lives have been detrimentally affected by a preacher who got out. The key is don't quit. The key is don't quit. Even when it gets hard, don't quit. Even when you're discouraged, don't quit. Even when everybody don't agree, don't quit. That's all I ever know to do. Even when my heart ain't right, I don't quit. Amen. Amen. Even when I go through that low period in my life and I don't want to see nobody and I don't want to talk to nobody and I don't want to deal with nobody's problems because I feel like I got enough of my... In those days, hang in there like a hare in a biscuit. Peter quit and said, I'm going back to what I used to do. And he did. And he did. Now I want you to watch what happened. Simon Peter saith in verse 3, saith unto them, I go a fishing. They say unto him, we also go with thee. And they went forth and entered into a ship immediately. And that results of quitting. Quitting. Nothing. You cannot show me a sure enough, born again Christian who has quit on God and their life is better for it. I'm telling you, I'm not a betting man. I don't believe in gambling, but when it's a sure thing, it ain't gambling. That's like me getting in a fishing tournament. People used to say, you're gambling fishing them tournaments. I said, I ain't gambling. That's a sure thing, man. Look at Anthony looking around. I believe that'd be a sure thing right there. You can't find the Christian. You say, I know somebody who's out of church and they got more money than they ever had. Money ain't happiness. Money ain't joy. I know people who've got a lot of money and their lives are a mess. Their lives are destroyed. You know what that means? Their wife just gets more. We okay? The Bible said in that night, they caught nothing. Verse 4, but when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was him. Then Jesus saith unto them, children, have ye any meat? Look up here. Hey, Peter, how you doing? How's it going since you went back to that old way of life? How's it going since you took all of my disciples with you? How y'all doing out there? You want to get lied to, ask the fisherman. Children, have you any meat? Can you imagine how convicting that was to Peter's heart?
Oh yeah.
That's probably about like that rooster crowing. Oh, he had to. They fished all night, taking nothing. Along comes the Lord. He didn't come in the middle of the night. He waited till they were done and said, okay, how's it going? I look at people out here that I meet in Walmart and different places, and I just want to say, how's life treating you? How's life treating you? You wouldn't believe some of the sob stories I get. From people who used to sit in the pews, you're sitting in tonight. From people who used to sing in the choir, you'll sing in Sunday morning. From people whose children used to lay on the altar and weep like ours will. How's it going? How's it going? Now watch the response. And he answered unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. Oh, wait a minute. Verse 5. Then Jesus saith unto them, children, have ye any meat? And they answered him, say it with me.
No.
And he said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. And they cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. It's funny, isn't it? They had been fishing in the same spot all night long and caught what?
Nothing.
Nothing. But when Jesus comes on the scene, they cast and they catch. And they don't just catch a few. He calls it a multitude. That translates to a bunch of fish. Amen? Now, would you agree with me that we are all to be fishers of men?
Amen.
We are all to be fishers of men. Now, this is a pointed question. How are you doing? What have you caught lately? Usually when we catch a pretty good fish, we want to bring it somewhere and show it off or take a picture of it and put it back in the water. Amen. When's the last time you brought somebody with you? Somebody told me this the other day, and I won't say who it was, and I'm not sure if they're here tonight. If you are, I'm not mad. I'm not pointing at you or trying to point you out. But here's what they said. I want to bring somebody to church, but our church is so full, we don't have room for nobody else. That's not an excuse.
Amen.
Another place they caught so many fish, their nets break. We just going to keep bringing them till it breaks. If we have to do like Sister Laurie did all them years ago and bring 40 kids on a 15-passenger van and stack them in here like cordwood, that's what we'll do till God says, hey, they got a problem.
Yeah.
They're bringing in more than they can handle. We need a bigger place. It'd be like me with Sister Laurie watching them come in, and I thought it was plumb dangerous.
Yeah.
Kids hanging out the windows, hanging out the back.
Yeah.
She'd open the door and they'd fall out on the ground. Y'all think that's a joke? I'm telling you the honest to God truth.
Yes, sir.
Sister Laurie pulled up in the parking lot one Sunday morning. Kids come falling out of there, and it was like the circus. Them clowns getting out of the doodle book. Kids just kept. I'm in a 15-passenger van. There's 40 kids in it, and they just kept getting out and getting out and getting out. And I'm standing there watching that. And she looked at me with a big old grin on her face, and I said, "Sis, you need a bus." And she went, "Duh." What I'm trying to say is you needed a bus.
Yeah.
Say is we just need to keep aware about the park. Are y'all okay?
Amen.
That's no, just because a building's full don't mean we stop fishing.
Yeah.
Several years ago I probably shouldn't tell this. We were trout fishing. I'll never forget as long as I live. I was fishing down this creek, just me all by myself, enjoying myself, having a time. And I had a limit. How many is it? 10? Is it 10? 8. However many it was, I had them in my creel. I couldn't catch no more legally. Well, I'm fishing down the bank, and all of a sudden I come up to this place. There's a tree blowed across the creek, right there across from where we camp, Brother Freddie. And there's a tree. And sitting on that tree is David Wilkins, Kyle Jones, and Trula, and another kid that was in our school. There's 4 or 5 of them sitting across that log, every one of them, fishing. I walked up. Levi had a backpack on his back. I said, Levi, I've already got my limit. Can I put some of my fish in your backpack? He said, if you can. I'm talking about a JanSport backpack. Y'all know what I'm talking about? I unzipped that zipper and a trout shot out. There was 4 of them kids and there was probably 100 trout in that bag. I said, boys, y'all got way more than the limit. Yeah, but we want to keep fishing. I said, well, take some of them up to the camp and put them in a cooler. Shh, are we on the internet? Yep. There is a statute of limitation on catching more than your limit. Amen. This ain't murder, it's fishing, okay? In other words, what I'm saying is just because your creel's full don't mean you quit fishing, man. We're just going to keep fishing. We're going to keep going after them. Hey, somebody said, where are you going to buy another bus for? We got more than we can handle. Hey, if we'll keep bringing them, God will equip us with what we need. Amen. I'm going to tell you like Danny Castle used to say, as long as we can see carpet, there's room.
Amen.
Just because the building's full, just because people are circling every Sunday and leaving because of no parking, don't mean we quit fishing.
Amen.
Now, Jesus promised to make his disciples fishers of men. Now, this post-resurrection meeting with the Lord on the bank is a good picture of soul winning. Tonight, just for a few minutes, I want to do my best to give us a fishing lesson. You ever had fishing lessons? Me and Levi went to Montana this past year, not to preach. He said he wanted to go trout fishing in one of them big mountain rivers. I said, charge us a dime. We jumped on. He had a fish. I speak back. I said, oh, yeah. He said, here you go. Ain't nothing. It looks. A fishing lesson. Now, I want to give you a fishing lesson. It's not a... I've come to the point I don't believe you can teach somebody to win souls. Amen? It's not a dot, 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 one, two, three, repeat after me. I don't believe in that junk. Amen? The reason they have to teach people to lead people to God is because they ain't got no God in them. A witness is just that. They tell somebody else what they got. Amen? This will be short tonight, I promise. Number one, it's real deep. I'm almost ashamed to preach it. Don't go fishing without Christ. Amen. Number one, don't go fishing without Christ. Amen. Do you understand? They walked away. They went back to the old way of life and they fished all night and caught nothing. You remember what Jesus said? Without me, ye can do nothing. If I'm not careful, there's no telling how many times I've read this Bible and how many things prepared. Ain't no telling how many thousands of times I've stood and spoke to congregations, young, old, teenagers, young people, old people, old couples, whatever you call it, Valentine's banquets. I mean, I've spoken everything in the world, men's retreats, women's retreats. I've spoke to them all. If I'm not careful, I'll think I've got to the place where I know how to do this. I got this. An alliterated line outline don't mean you got this. A well-planned sermon don't mean you got this. I don't care how long you've run a bus route, how many doors you've knocked on, how many bus programs you've worked through. It doesn't matter how many times you do it. Without Him, we can do nothing. I check myself constantly if I'm not getting results. Why? It ain't this. It's not this. There's nothing wrong with the bait. Amen. I don't think there's anything wrong with the presentation. I believe every time we preach, we're putting in the right spot. We're preaching the right thing. We're telling the right thing. But without the presence and the power of God, we're just like those disciples out on the sea fishing all by ourselves. You get discouraged in your bus route. Hey, seasons come and seasons go. Things change. One day, boy, when it's cold, they all come. When it's summertime, clothes come off and they're at the lake somewhere. Amen. That's the way it is. Right. Our numbers go up, our numbers go down.
Amen.
And sometimes we get discouraged, but sometimes we need to make sure we got the right fishing partner along.
Right.
Several years ago, I think it was y'all. Several years ago, I got a handheld GPS. Brother Warren got it for me. A handheld GPS. I could use it in my car. I could use it in my boat. I could take it anywhere. Now, BJ, I joke about me being a great fisherman, but BJ Noble's one of the best fishermen I've ever known in my life. He could go out there in that parking lot, Brother Ant, if there's a mud hole, he'd catch fish out of it. If he couldn't, he'd take two sticks and make one. BJ, you fish in the same spot right there. Boom, 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 boom. Nothing, 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 nothing. BJ walk up behind you and go, I said, how'd you do that? He said, you didn't see that fish? Man, he's a fishing machine. I go fishing with BJ. I got that GPS. I put it in my coat pocket. Y'all don't know where I'm going, do you? You know what I'd do? Every time he'd pull up on a hole, I'd mark his spot. Amen. When you're fishing with somebody who knows how to get it done, you better pay attention. Don't go fishing without Jesus. Don't go out on your bus route without praying. Hey, we need God's presence. You can be the best soul winner in the world, but without the presence of God, it's nothing. Trust me, I've seen nothing. I've seen nothing. I've been out. I never forget going on visitation with a fella. Knocked on a guy's door. Guy come to the door, said, can I help you? He said, yeah, we're from such and such. We're from Happy Valley Baptist Church. But he wasn't. He's a missionary. He said, sir, you want to go to heaven when you die? He said, well, yeah. He said, well, repeat after me. That he didn't open the Bible. He didn't even ask the man if he's saved. Didn't do nothing. He said, "Dear Lord, I'm a sinner. Dear Lord, I'm a sinner. Dear Lord, forgive me of my sin. Come into my heart." I mean, just boom, boom, boom. He said, "Man, you're saved. Judge me if you want to, but I don't believe that." I believe there's a little more to it than that. I believe before you can get saved, you got to get lost. Before you can get well, you got to know you're sick. I believe in Holy Ghost conviction. Amen. We catch a bad rap for this easy believism. It is easy to believe. It is easy to get saved. But before you can get saved, you better get lost. Amen. Man, we can go out here and go through the motions without Jesus, and we might say we caught a few, but I wonder if we did. I wonder if somebody didn't repeat after you to get you off their porch. Are you okay? I know there's times that we can push too far and say too much. We was in the mall one day. Brother Tony Collins is witnessing this little teenage girl. I mean, we're standing there, and boy, Tony's doing a good job. And he's going, "Oh, let me show you this and let me show you that." And a little girl standing there with tears running down her face. Finally, she butted in. She said, "Sir, would you shut up so I can pray?" I was like, "She's on the hook, really?" Amen. Sometimes we think we got, wait a minute, I got more to tell you. Hey, when they're in. We got to be careful that we don't go fishing without Christ. When we try it in our own power,